This is what renting furniture with Feather looks like. Pieces that fit your style and your space. And cost less than your monthly phone bill. Oh, and did we mention delivery and assembly included? Feather. Start renting at livefeather.com.
From the Ram Radio Mobile Studios in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas, and wow, have we got a special guest for you today. I can't believe I'm connected with Sally Orange, who's calling in from the UK to talk about mind over matter. Sally, it's so great to talk with you again.
Yeah, lovely to speak to you too, George.
We had, what, like 10 minutes time on stage and at the banquet, and I just wanted to ask you more and more and more questions. And as I've come to find out what an incredible athlete you are and some of the amazing experiences and things that you've done, I'm really glad we didn't chat after the banquet, because I never would have gone to sleep.
I always struggle with the term athlete. I'm not so sure athlete's how you'd describe me, but thank you anyway.
You did send me the best motto ever via email of, what was that about training?
Training's cheating.
Yeah, there you go.
it's not my forte, training.
So let's get into how you put this team together. And it was billed as an adaptive team, but it really wasn't. Tell us about that and what that's considered in the UK, how you were looking at this team.
Yeah, so the term adaptive, quite often looks at physical injuries and illnesses, and really we sort of termed it, which is a term that comes from the military really, as wounded, injured and sick. So some of the ladies in the team had been wounded in conflict. Some had been injured by either motorcycles or skiing accidents, or skydiving accidents, and some were, sick or ill, whether that be mental illness or, spontaneous bleed on the spine. So yeah, that's where the term WIS, wounded, injured and sick, really sort of comes from, and is a really overarching term for psychological as well as physical injuries and illnesses. So we did have two cyclists who were on stage in wheelchairs, and their injuries were more obviously physical, whereas the rest of the team, as I say, were invisible injuries or illnesses, in that they were able to use an upright cycle, apart from one of the cyclists who was actually an amputee as well, so obviously visible with that. So quite a different makeup to a team, really.
And I think of invisible injuries, and I certainly don't want to be disrespectful at all with this, but I mean, personal experience here too is, gosh, why are you on a team like that? You look fine.
Yeah, and I think, that's the perception that, understandably, people do think that. As you've said, quite often, it's very difficult then having people understand when you look physically fine. I do know people who have physical injuries who say that they believe that they're in a better situation than those have, certainly from conflict, any psychological problems, because they do get the help, they do get the support. It's never easy for either or, and obviously some people have both, the understanding I think is a bit more there for somebody with a physical injury. Being a physio, a physiotherapist, which in the UK we call physiotherapists, you call physical therapists. I've got a good understanding of this as well, because that's been my profession for sort of 20 years. But there's a lot of psychology behind the physical injuries as well. So it comes from a very different background, really.
How did you come up with the idea for putting this team together? And did you realize it was going to be such a big undertaking, I mean, from the organizational and the logistical side of this?
No, I don't think I realised at all quite what an impact it was going to have, or how big the, you know, the overall challenge was going to be. It sort of came, you know, it was sort of born out of I'd done quite a lot of different physical challenges individually, and, you know, sort of by myself. And I wanted other people to sort of be inspired that, really, and sort of take on their own journey, embrace their own journey of sort of recovering from ill health through physical challenge. You know, I'd learnt that through determination and commitment to certain goals, that things are achievable. And I wanted to help others with their healing process as well. You know, quite often I'd felt quite isolated and without a sense of belonging or community. And so really, you know, a way of sort of combating that was to look at setting up a team. I'd done things previously with teams, but I'd found myself to be the only female within that team. I'd seen that a couple of male teams had done the Race Across America from the UK that were wounded, injured and sick, and thought, yeah, why has there never been a female team? I know it's, you know, it's the toughest cycle race in the world, but that doesn't mean that females can't do it. So I, you know, had a few more barriers before actually setting up the team. I went to the, you know, the same organisations that had put the male teams together, and I was told that there wasn't really an appetite for a female team. And so that was that avenue sort of closed off. So I thought, right, well, that, you know, there's more ways to skin a cat. So looked at a different route, and that's where I was put in contact with Leadership Challenges, who have put teams through the Race Across America previously, and, you know, sort of had a meeting with them and explained the concept of what I was wanting to do, and, you know, luckily they jumped at the chance of being involved, and that really, really helped with the, you know, all the logistical, because they'd had the experience and the knowledge of doing it previously. You know, that side of things was helped, but first of all, we had to actually find the funding, and it's not a cheap challenge, unfortunately. You know, we're looking at 8 cyclists and a support crew of 11 people. So that's, you know, 19 people getting over to the US, and then, you know, the vehicles, the food, and again, because our bikes weren't just upright, we had a recumbent cycle and an upright, a hand bike. We then had to have more vehicles than a team would otherwise usually have. So, which obviously was going to be more expense. But again, that commitment and determination sort of came on board, and we approached different organisations and charities, and, you know, sort of sold the story, really, of wanting to, you know, what we were wanting to achieve, in that we wanted, you know, I wanted to give the team, you know, the individuals, a sense of purpose, you know, a real sort of focus of, I'd known what it'd been like when you've, you know, sort of been left and, you know, sort of tossed aside and become quite isolated. It becomes quite a, you know, a vicious circle if you're not careful. So actually having someone believe in us and believe in the concept and the idea in itself is a, you know, a boost of self-esteem. And then you've got your own sort of personal goals of, you know, routine of the training. This is the first occasion where my motto of training is cheating had to go out the window, because I kind of thought, if I'm leading a team, I can't expect everybody else to train and me not. And, you know, I had a responsibility to everybody else in the team. We all had a responsibility to each other, really. And that was the great thing about working with a team. You know, everybody had their different strengths and weaknesses, and the different bikes had their strengths and weaknesses as well. So we were able to really sort of put them, you know, to the test through RAM. So yeah, that's sort of how it came about, really. It was through, you know, just trying to show people that, you know, as a female, and we found out when we got to Oceanside in California that there'd only ever been two 8-person all-female teams, which in a 38-year history of a race is, why, you know, why should that be? And there was another female team that were out there as well, the Serpentine Golden Girls, and they were also breaking barriers in that they were all in their 70s, and they, you know, a 4-person team, and showing that no matter what your age, you can still achieve. And yeah, so, you know, it was great to be able to take on. I mean, it was scary, and yes, certainly a bigger project than I'd ever expected. But I think that's when you get more satisfaction. The more you put into something, the more you get out of something. And if it was going to be easy, then it wouldn't be a challenge in the first place. So go big or go home, really.
Now, I'm only just one more question, because again, I want to do this in many multi parts, because we could be talking forever here. But I'm just, did all of you have a military background? Because I'm wondering, again, I would really like to get into the invisible injuries, the injuries that we don't see, and how sleep deprivation and the stress of being in enclosed places with people under such stressful situations, was that even an issue for you all at all during the event?
Yeah, I mean, I think for anybody doing RAM, sleep deprivation is certainly a part of it. But going back to the first part of your question, half of us, so four of us were military.
Four of you, okay.
Yes, and four weren't. And again, that was to really show that the wider population, that no matter what your background, whether that be, you know, military, civilian, age, you know, physical, psychological illnesses or injuries, it was really trying to look at a group of people that were so diverse, really, in their backgrounds. And, you know, bringing them all together, because that way it inspires so many more people. And yes, you know, we might be females, but actually, if it inspires males to kind of go, well, you know, if they can do it, surely we can do it. It can't be that difficult. You know, it's a generation of people as well. So, but yes, the, you know, some, as I said before, some of the injuries were conflict related, and invisible as well. So post-traumatic stress disorder that comes, you know, can come from conflict. You know, anybody when they're sleep deprived, you know, tempers are, you know, slightly different, and it did have effect. But it was looking at managing all the differences as well. You know, we were all individuals, but with extra challenges, and yeah, you know, it was, as I say, for anybody, I think would have been difficult. But we tried to manage it in 9-hour shifts. So there was times where we recognised that we weren't quite going fast enough, and so we then brought it down to 6-hour shifts just to try and increase our speed. But then we went back to 9-hour shifts once we'd, you know, sort of got into a bit more of a routine and what was happening. So we were very lucky, and again, that was leadership challenges because of their previous experience. And our crew chief, she'd sort of worked as a support crew before, so had much more of an understanding than we did of what the requirements were to be able to make the cutoffs and those things. So it was fantastic when we made that first cutoff, and I think that really increases your self-confidence, and you know what, we actually could well do this. So I think, you know, for me, it, you know, right from the beginning, it was a pinch me moment, and I kept pinching myself that we'd actually got this team. And when I say the team, I'd also wanted the support crew. A lot of those had also got either psychological or physical injuries. We had an above knee amputee on the support crew, and, you know, again, wanted to sort of show that, you know, some of the people, they had been in the military, they'd been medically discharged, they'd retrained with a different profession, and showing that actually those skills can still be used for, you know, sort of the skills that are used there can be put into different jobs and home and work life. So, you know, it was a much wider, you know, sort of aim with the project, really, of not just the cyclists, but the support crew as well, because they really did have to work extra hard because of the extra challenges that we brought them, because of the differences of our team. But that they, the support team were mixed, because again, we needed to look at what, you know, the moving and handling of some of the cyclists was slightly different. So that was all looked into. And we were very, very fortunate to have the support of a professor in sports psychology as well, because we recognised that, you know, sleep deprivation may well, you know, have an impact on us emotionally. It was looking at how do we mitigate those problems. So I'd really sort of looked into... you know, trying to help as much as we could, but of course the support crew get you know, incredibly sleep deprived as well. So it all adds to the challenge and the adventure, really. And that's how we saw it all.
Well, Sally, it was amazing watching you all cross the finish line and seeing you at the banquet. I can't congratulate you enough for just a phenomenal achievement. And I look forward to following up on this with part two in the very near future. Sally Wernsch, thanks so much for joining us from the UK on RAM Radio.
Oh, thank you very much, George. Thank you.
From the RAM Mobile Studios in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas.